10. Running the belt.
I wouldn't have expected anything less of Lando, Han remarked when the Millennium Falcon came out of hyperspace and into view of the planets Lando Calrissian had taken for home and office. All the region about the two planets looming before them was littered with spacecraft, everything from small starfighters to huge freighters and even larger shield ships Lando had used to protect other vessels when he had been mining on Niklan, a planet too close to its sun.
More traffic than at the core, Luke's voice piped in over the comm as the Jade Saber came out of hyperspace right beside the Falcon. That left only Jaina and the X-Wing still to be counted, and Han glanced at his wife, noting her concern. The trip from Reese had taken a week, and while that was no problem in the comfort of the Millennium Falcon or the Jade Saber, such a journey could tax an X-Wing pilot to her limits, to say nothing of supplies. Jedi going on long journeys usually slipped into a self-induced, nearly comatose state, slowing their metabolism and, for all intents and purposes, sleeping through the journey. Jaina had learned the technique and had proven she could do it well in her training with Mara. But doing it in a training room was very different from doing it in an X-Wing on a long and lonely journey. Even Luke had questioned his wife repeatedly about whether Jaina was really ready for this or not. Mara had insisted that she was, and no one could doubt Jaina's piloting prowess. Since Mara was Jaina's official tutor, there could be no debate, not even from Leia and Han, neither of whom were especially thrilled about putting their daughter into any kind of danger. So Jaina had flown out here in the X-Wing, same course, same destination, same speed as the other two ships. Why wasn't she out of hyperspace yet? That question hung palpably between Leia and Han, neither speaking it aloud, neither having to. "Let me guess which planet is Lando's," came Luke's call, his tone dry and sarcastic. The answer was obvious. One of the planets before them was brown and appeared quite inhospitable, while the other was blue and green, with white clouds floating through its sky. The scene reminded both Leia and Mara of the two planets they had recently visited, hospitable Osarian and rugged Romamul.
"Luke, where is Jaina?" Leia called, doing well to keep the concern out of her voice. She heard laughter from the other ship, Mara's.
"Why isn't she out yet?" Leia pressed.
"Because Mara fed R2 the wrong coordinates," Luke replied.
"A little test," Mara explained, coming online. "Jaina's nearby, but far enough out of the system so that she'll have a few reference points to use in writing her course."
"She's probably panicking," Leia replied, and she could easily visualize the grin spreading on Mara's pretty face.
"For a while, no doubt," Mara answered. "But all she needs to do is look inside herself to seek out the Force and its connection between her and us, and particularly to Jason, and she'll fly in at any minute."
"And R2 knows the real way in any case," Luke quickly added.
"You've got a mean streak in you," Leia remarked with a helpless sigh.
"Toward Jaina or toward you?" Luke asked, and again Leia and Han could hear their sister-in-law laughing.
"Yes," Mara answered.
Leia just sighed.
"If anything happens to Mistress Jaina, I shall personally scold R2-D2, a nervous C-3PO piped in. "Oh, he's the real troublemaker, you know. I am sure that he is quite enjoying this."
Leia glanced at the golden protocol droid.
"Not like Mara," she muttered.
And considering her present fears and feelings, she was only half kidding.
"Jaina's fine," Luke remarked. "If you reach out with the Force, dear sister, you'll feel her. Very much alive and well."
Leia was about to do just that, but she didn't have to, for the sensors on the Falcon's panel beeped, and sure enough, Jaina's X-Wing streaked into view a moment later.
"Took you long enough," Mara called to her, and she left the channel open so that the folks on the Falcon could hear her as well.
"A little problem with R2, Jaina remarked dryly, and they heard R2-D2 beep out his vehement protest. Mara bade Jaina to take them in, and she did just that, but in a roundabout manner, circling wide of Lando's home planet of Dubrillion to take a look at the operations going on at the other planet, Destrillion.
A stream of small ships flowed down to this planet, bringing raw materials from the asteroids to the great processing plants Lando had set up. Another smaller stream of larger ships flowed off-world, heading for the huge freighters that were sitting in orbit. Of all the onlookers, even Han, who was so familiar with Lando's schemes, stared in disbelief. How could Lando have set up so complete and large an operation in so short an amount of time? He'd been out here for only a year, and yet it seemed as if his operations could supply half the galaxy. Contact from the surface of the blue and green planet welcomed them, all the more enthusiastically after the controller heard the names of the ships and their occupants, and gave them coordinates for landing. And as they descended through Dubrillian's cloud cover, they saw that Lando's current home was no less impressive than his mining operation. The city was tightly clustered, with tall towers and high groupings of many starports. Luke noted that most of those open bays were empty, leading to the speculation that Lando entertained many guests who were quick in and quick out. Like smugglers. As the Jade Saber swooped along to its appointed dock, Luke also noted a pair of X-Wings on one platform, XJ class, like his own, the latest version of the starfighter. There weren't many of those advanced fighters flying about, and none at all outside the Star Destroyer and Battlecruiser squadrons, with one notable exception. These fighters belonged to Jedi Knights. The three ships set down on three circular bays, high above the surface, with low clouds drifting by. The landing zones were separated by narrow walkways leading to a central hub, and a fourth walkway went out from that hub to the connected tower. All of them disembarked and met at the central hub with Jaina and R2-D2, who needed considerable help getting out of the X-Wing, coming along last. The pair arrived just before Lando came sweeping out of the tower door, his huge welcoming smile, his eyes, as always, twinkling more than sparkling, giving the impression that there was something much more going on behind the man's every gesture and expression. "Ha-ha!" he laughed, moving over to wrap Han in a great hug, and then put one over Leia, one that pointedly lasted a little bit longer, drawing a jealous scowl from Han. He went to Luke next, and then stood before Mara, shaking his head. "You look wonderful," he said sincerely, bringing a smile to the woman, and Lando crushed her in a huge hug. "Not many people dare to hug me," Mara remarked. "That leaves more of you for me, then," Lando returned with a burst of laughter. He stopped abruptly and glanced over at Luke, but found the man nodding and smiling sincerely. Lando's greeting of Mara could not have been more perfect. The man was much more reserved with Chewbacca, offered a salute to R2-D2 and C-3PO, and then turned his attention to the three kids. "How much bigger are you gonna get?" he asked, holding his arms out wide in disbelief. "It's only been a year, but look at you. You're all grown up." The smiles that came back at him were polite and obviously embarrassed. "What are you doing here?" Lando asked, turning to Han. "And why didn't you tell me you'd be coming? I could have prepared something." "Somehow I don't think we'll be bored," Han remarked dryly. Lando chuckled, but stopped short, eyeing Han suspiciously, as if he didn't know whether to take that as a compliment or an insult. His bright smile returned almost immediately, though, and with a flourish and a skip in his step, the vibrant Lando led them into the tower. He gave them the complete tour, then, from the posh rooms and his guest suites to the control rooms of the robotic processing plants on the other planet, detailing with great pride the volume of various minerals making their way up to the freighters and off to the core. They ended the tour in the huge monitoring chamber at the center of his city, an oval-shaped room, its perimeter mimicking the orbital path of the asteroid belt, Lando's Folly. The chamber walls were covered with one gigantic view screen, showing a real-time view of the asteroid belt. Lando led them to another large rectangular screen set out from one wall, and the man at the control panel respectfully moved aside. Lando's ensuing demonstration did not disappoint. He selected a section of the asteroid belt and magnified it on the rectangular screen to the point where they could see the small droid mining ships testing, drilling, and extracting, then hopping onto another asteroid. "How much can you get from them?" Han asked. "Really?" Most asteroids aren't profitable, Lando admitted. But every now and then... He added slyly, rubbing his hands together, dark eyes twinkling.
He continued the demonstration a bit longer, answered questions about volume and costs of setup, then led them out of that tower to another, up, up, to an enclosed hangar that held several small craft, with single central pilot pods, wing pylons extending from either side, connecting solar array wings that featured a top third and bottom third angled at 45 degrees back in toward the central pod. Lando's guests, particularly the older ones, surely recognized the craft. TIE Advanced X-1 fighters, the type favored by the elite of the old Empire, including Darth Vader. The sight of the distinctive fighters clearly affected both Luke and Leia, whose expressions drooped. Han looked at Lando and scowled.
"Best designed for our purposes," Lando answered honestly.
"These are your belt runners?" Luke asked.
"It's the adjustable shock couch," Lando explained, leading the way to the nearest, and as they moved, they noted similar but larger twin-pod craft, TIE bombers, farther back in the hangar.
"Pilots in these things can take a real beating."
"Don't we know that?" Han asked dryly.
"So you fly these things through the asteroid belt?" Jaina asked, her expression and her tone showing that she was more than a little intrigued.
"Along Lando's folly, not through," Lando corrected. "Against the flow of the asteroids. We've got a couple of particularly nasty sections mapped out."
He stared at Jaina for a long moment, matching her eager expression.
"You want to try?"
She looked at her parents first, for just a moment, and then at Mara, and it was obvious that she was pleading for permission. The prep time seemed interminable to eager Jaina, but she paid attention as Lando's technicians explained the basic differences in flying one of their modified TIE fighters. While the foot yokes and hand controls were easy enough to pick up, the adjustable shock couch, a pivoting, bouncing contraption, was very different from the stable cockpit of an X-wing or land speeder. And the most important difference of all, Lando's technician explained, concerned the inertial compensator. Unlike those on the X-wings, and in most other craft, the ones on the modified TIE fighters could not be dialed down. The levels were preset, designed to give a pilot a good tactical feel of the craft, and often a wild ride, but would not allow the G's to exceed safe limits.
"Early on, pilots would strap in and dial it down to 95, the technician explained to the three kids. "They'd bounce along until that inevitable collision, and then ricochet into a wild spin. We'd go get them, to find most unconscious. One almost died."
That last statement brought a concerned look from Leia, and Jaina knew that her mother was almost ready to cancel the runs then and there. But then the technician assured her and the others that the problem had been fixed.
"When you hit one now, you'll get the spin of your life," he explained, "but you'll live to brag about it."
As a final confidence booster, the technician then pointed out the repulsor shields, solid defensive arrays controlled not by the pilot and powered not by the ship's engines, but from a floating station, Belt Runner 1. That news widened Luke's eyes. There were available technologies to make the TIE fighters able to withstand many asteroid hits, using combinations of shields and an enhanced repulsor system. But for many years, the militaries of both the Empire and the New Republic had been trying to perfect off-ship shielding, with greater power sources lending deflector shields to small starfighters, thus freeing the drives of the starfighters to the tasks of maneuvering, accelerating, and firing. Thus far, little progress had been made with the technique, and Luke understood that if Lando could perfect it out here, the value to the enterprising man would be many times greater than all the treasure he could leech off of all the asteroids of Lando's folly. Maybe that was his real purpose. Also, the technician continued, moving over to pat a shining white metallic hump beside the shock couch, these babies have been outfitted with hyperdrive. Luke nodded admiringly. Lando and his technicians might be onto something truly impressive here.
"We'll keep them safe," Lando finished for the tech, and he offered a wink to Leia. And then Jaina and the other two solo youngsters got their test runs in the modified ties, including a half-speed crash into a mountainside where they experienced their first real feel for the collision shields. But even that exercise didn't sate eager Jaina. Lando showed them a posting board prominently displayed in the entry hall of the city's main tower, which listed the top pilots and their winning durations. She didn't know any of the names except two: Nico Reglia, who was listed at 7th, and Kip Duran, the current champion, with a time of 11 minutes 13 seconds. Jedi Knights, the master Kip, and his apprentice, Miko. Jaina had work to do. She cruised within the prep coordinates in her TIE fighter now, within sight of the entry point to the asteroid belt. Jason was in the run now, building a respectable time approaching the 5-minute mark. Jaina couldn't see him, but she heard his calls, or at least the calls out to him, for her twin brother was keeping fairly quiet, finding a sense of calm within the meditation of the Force she knew. He passed the 5.5-minute mark. He'd be on the board. "Keep going," Jaina whispered, but even as the words left her mouth, she heard her brother cry out, "Whoa!" and then just issue a long scream. "He's out," came the call from Belt Runner 1. "Heck of a hit." Jaina caught sight of him then, of the spinning, running lights as the TIE fighter careened off into space. "Jason?" she called out. And when no response came back, she reached out to her twin with the Force, feeling him securely through their tight bond, and understanding that he was shaken up, but was very much alive and well. She let it go at that, for Anakin was just starting his run. Jaina caught flashes of his ship weaving in and out of the rocks, and she heard his breathing and occasional shouts over her comm unit. He sounded more animated than had Jason, more consciously attuned to his physical senses. Jaina understood the philosophical fight that had been waging between her brothers, each trying to find the correct balance between Force and physiology, and she wasn't surprised at all by the difference. "We got him," came the call from one of Lando's tow ships, followed by assurances from Jason that he was all right. Jaina could picture the look of relief on her fretting mother's face. "I want to do it again," he added, and then Jaina imagined Leia's predictable scowl. They crossed Jaina's line of sight then, TIE and tow ship. The modified fighter seemed perfectly fine, but still it was being towed. She took a deep breath, steadying her nerves. Then she heard Anakin squeal with delight and caught sight of his TIE skimming the edge of one huge rock. She clicked off the signal, preferring to turn her attention inward to find the peace of the Force, the calm emptiness. Hardly conscious of the effort, she rocked the foot yokes back and forth, trying to get a better feel for the craft, and gave a quick push on the throttle, jerking her back in the shock couch. The seconds slipped past as she fell deeper into the meditation. She heard the call from the ground controller that Anakin had surpassed Jason. Wouldn't that make for fun conversation later on? And focused back into her surroundings, tuning the comm back to Anakin's signal in time to hear his boast. "I got you, Jace," he started to say. Jaina saw the whole thing. Anakin stooped his TIE under a spinning rock, then pulled into a hard climb right before the face of another. He couldn't avoid the third, didn't even see it until it was right in his face. He hit head-on, the TIE fighter ricocheting straight up, spinning tail over front at a tremendous rate. Up, up it went, and then it stopped spinning. Anakin must have fired a compensating blast, and just kept drifting, tilted, and appearing quite dead. "Anakin?" came the frantic call from the ground station, Leia's voice. No answer. Jaina gripped her controls as Leia cried out again, thinking that she could get to her brother quickest, though what good she might do she didn't know. Before she fired away, though, Anakin's shaky voice replied. "Amazing," he said, and he sounded sick, or as if he had just been. "Are you all right?" came Leia's call and Lando's voice at the same time.
"I think so."
"You beat Jason," Jaina piped in.
"Who cares?" came the response.
Only then did Jaina understand how shaken her little brother truly was. Normally, the fact that he had beaten Jason would be paramount in his thoughts, a sterling victory. "That's enough," Leia said, apparently catching on to the same thing. "Bring it in, Jaina." "Ready to fire," Jaina called, clicking to a different channel and pretending she hadn't heard. She wasn't about to let Anakin's misfortune slow her down. She knew she should have gone first. "Am I cleared for entry?" she asked the air controller on Belt Runner 1.
"Fire away," he came back.
"Jaina," Leia's voice came in, her mom's sense easily finding her daughter's new channel. But Jaina throttled up quickly, speeding for the entry point of the belt. Most pilots went in at a virtual standstill, coming against the flow of the asteroids and using their drives only for dodging maneuvers. It wasn't a distance test after all, but merely a duration challenge. Jaina, though, fearing her mother would find a way to call it all off, hit the belt running, and fast. She knew as soon as she entered that she had made a mistake. Before she could even really register any pattern to the incoming asteroids, she had to push hard on the stick, dropping the tie into a straight stoop, then rolling out to the left desperately to avoid a long jag in the rock. 3/4 of the way into that roll, Jaina pulled it to a halt and shot out diagonally, barely avoiding another asteroid and nearly clipping the backside of the first she had dodged. No time to take a deep steadying breath, for another pair came on, and Jaina put the tie up on its side and somehow managed to slip between them, then rolled it over top-down and pulled hard, dropping into another stoop. Before the warning alarm could begin to sound, indicating that she was nearing the boundary of the belt, Jaina brought the tie about, shooting off to the side, making no headway into the asteroid course, but not losing any ground, which would have disqualified her, and buying herself a precious split second. And in that second, she composed herself and recognized that she could not keep reacting. This was a game of anticipation, of preparing the move before you had to make it. That was why the 4 Jedi who had run, including 2 relatively green pilots, her brothers, had all climbed onto the board. Jaina ignored her blinking and beeping instruments and looked ahead at the incoming swarm, feeling their pattern as much as seeing it. She turned her nose into the wind, as the old water sailing adage went, and plunged in headlong. Han heard a low growl escape Leia's lips as Jaina soared into the asteroid belt. He draped his arm about his wife's shoulders.
"She heard me," Leia remarked quietly and coldly.
Han tightened his grip, pulling Leia closer. Of course Jaina had heard her, and of course Jaina had pretended differently, had gone after the run that had consumed her thoughts these last days. Leia would get over it, Han knew, but if Jaina had acceded to her mother's demand, had lost the challenge she had so desperately wanted, the chill between mother and daughter would have been lasting. "She'll be all right," he remarked, but even he winced as Jaina's tie, clearly visible on the great screens in the central control room, broke into its 3/4 roll and burst out at the very last instant. "She's the best flyer of the three." Beside the pair, Mara's green eyes glowed with excitement.
"Fall into it, Jaina," she whispered. "Let the Force be your guide."
Behind her, Luke kneaded her neck and shoulders and smiled warmly, remembering similar advice from the spirit of Obi-Wan Kenobi when old Ben had gone with him on his race down the channel of the Death Star. "Don't try to register all the input from your eyes and other senses. Don't listen to your instruments at all. Turn them off, if possible. Let the Force show you the patterns before you, the twists, the turns, the target." Jaina was more into that flow now, they could all see, her turns coming hard but less drastic, as if she was anticipating the next twist she would face. Luke glanced at the timer clock hanging above them. 4 minutes. On she went, spinning and rolling, plunging suddenly, then swooping back up to a clearer region. But looking ahead of her, Luke recognized a seemingly insurmountable problem. 2 thick clusters of asteroids were converging, the trailing group catching up to the other, and they seemed as if they would form a wall of stone the tie simply couldn't slip through. "Unbreachable pattern," one of Lando's observing judges cried out, and those very words blinked off and on across his monitor, for the computer calculating Jaina's flight saw no way around the forming barrier without clearing the borderlines of the asteroid belt. "Tough luck," Lando remarked. "Happens every once in a while."
"She'll get it," Mara insisted.
"Come on, Jaina,"
Leia whispered beside her. Jaina recognized the convergence, like fingers interlocking to form a solid barrier, and immediately throttled down. Desperate, she glanced all about, looking for a seam.
There was none. She looked to her instruments, all of them screaming and blinking, warning of impending collision. She punched her fist against her thigh in frustration, losing her composure, losing any chance. Then she heard Mara's plea for her to fall into the force, and then she heard her mother's voice, nothing distinct, but a general feeling of support and love from both of them. Jaina steeled her gaze straight ahead and throttled up, attacking the mass. She had to buy time, nothing more, and the trailing group would surpass the first, and openings would reveal themselves. She went in hard at the closest asteroid, spun over and down as she approached and popped her repulsor coils, bouncing off harmlessly. Into another spin, she fired the repulsors again, ricocheting off the bottom of another asteroid, and then again bouncing her backward, but not technically flying backward, which would have disqualified her. And so it went, with Jaina playing like a bouncing ball, never impacting, but firing her repulsor coils at precisely the right moment to launch her sidelong or up or down, or even backward, buying time and not distance as asteroids passed others, as some collided and went spinning at slightly new angles. Jaina felt an opening, like a breeze finding an alley between tall buildings. She bounced away from yet another rock, barrel-rolled and dived, then reversed momentum, swooping up right before yet another asteroid, but coming around it, leveling off and shooting through the gap, waggling her wings to accommodate the angled exit. Her eyes were half-closed as she felt the patterns. Her TIE fighter swooped and turned, accelerating and throttling back before she was even conscious of the movements. Nor was she conscious of the passing seconds, or of anything at all other than the clearest course before her. Chewie's howl as Jaina broke through the seemingly impenetrable barrier against the odds and against the computer calculations very much reflected the mood of the onlookers, even Lando's crew. The Wookiee jumped up and down, grabbed the nearest technician and gave him a shake that set his teeth to rattling, and punched his huge hairy fist into the air. "Was that good?" C-3PO asked in all seriousness, apparently missing the point of it all. R2-D2 howled and screeched at him in response. Leia reached over and squeezed Mara's hand. "The kid can fly," Han remarked, his voice thick with something more than pride, with awe. He glanced up at the timer clock. 5 minutes, 32 seconds. Jason, still a bit unsteady from his collision, walked into the room then. He glanced up at the clock, then moved beside the others and took a measure of Jaina's progress. "She's found her inner peace," he remarked. "Did you?" Luke asked. Jason nodded. "But I didn't have the flying skills to complement it," he admitted. "Jaina's got the whole package." And so it seemed, as the screen showed her TIE flowing effortlessly through the maze of flying boulders. The elapsed time broke the 7-minute mark, putting Jaina high on the board. "She'll be no lower than third," Lando told them, "and no one's had a tougher course to fly." He turned to one of his techs. "Cut into all the broadcast screens," he instructed. "Put this out all over the planet." "Let the betting begin," Han whispered into Leia's ear, and both smiled. "I already had it piped into the other control rooms and the docking areas," the tech replied. "I saw it on the way in," Jason agreed. "Kip Doran's out in the docks, watching every second." The name reminded Luke that they had other business to attend to out here. But not now, he told himself. He studied Jaina's flight pattern, then glanced back up at the timer clock. "Kip's going to lose," he stated evenly. The force mounted within Jaina, a tangible pressure growing from second to second. It was all an incomprehensible blur, seemingly unguided movements that brought her within a hairbreadth of some asteroids into wild turns and stoops, straight climbs and clever angles, cutting the one open line between rocks. On and on it went, though time seemed irrelevant, a concept lost in the deepest trance. But the pressure built surely, tangibly, and as Jaina became aware of it, that only stemmed her concentration further. Her eyes popped open wide as she came around one spinning boulder to nick a tiny one, hardly a hit, but enough to push her out so that she clipped another larger asteroid. Around and around she careened, and she tensed coming out of one spin to see a wall of stone looming before her. Then she was spinning too fast to even register the movement, too fast to make any sense of the myriad images flashing before her. She collided with another asteroid, she felt that impact clearly, and then she was clear of the belt.
and as her rattled senses settled, she worked the controls feverishly to stop the spin. She didn't know how much time had elapsed, hardly remembered her run at all. In the control room there was silence. Stunned silence. The timer clock had stopped the moment Jaina's tie had exited the belt. 7 minutes, 27 seconds. "The kid can fly," Han said again.